Thank you, Michelle. Wow. Isn't that what we long for? We long for this. We long for Christ to show His glory. What are we talking about, revival? Last night, we looked at Acts. And in Acts, we looked at what revival looks like. When we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, what He does, and how He changes us, and how He changes His church. And we realize that one of the missing things in churches today is not a thing but a person. It's none other than the Holy Spirit. And if we are going to experience heartfelt revival, then we've got to seek the face of God. And we've got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we must be people who long and thirst after the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're looking at revival. If we're going to have revival, it's got to be in our home. And men, it's got to start with you. But ladies, you've got to also be a part of making the home. And single people, it must overflow from your lives. And those of you who are young people, you've got to say, well, what must I do to become this kind of home? You see, God doesn't want to just touch you as individuals. He wants the body of the Christ to be built up. And He has instituted the family, created the family for His glory. I am at the University of Mobile, and wow, if young people, if you're looking for a school, parents, grandparents, I can say this unashamedly, we are Christ-centered. We are raising up a generation in a world that is filled with a secular worldview that has a Christian worldview. And whether you're going into nursing or medical or pharmacy, or whether you're going to be a teacher, or whether you're going to be a musician, or whether you're going to be an engineer, or whether you're going to be a preacher, whatever it might be, that we go and leave the University of Mobile as they graduate looking more like Jesus Christ, with an understanding that our desire is for every student who comes to University of Mobile is touched by God and leaves that place to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. We want to be seen as a place that is training up an army of young men and young women, because our world needs people who stand on the promises of God. Our world needs young people who understand biblical truth and be willing to risk their lives for that truth. A day will be coming for that. That's another day, another dollar. Let's look in the scripture together. First of all, our main text is going to be Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. But I want to read a passage first before that, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 18. And listen to this. This is Absalom was trying to kill David. They went to a big battle. Most of us know this story. And here's them starting verse 32. The Cushite came, and of course they won the victory. Absalom was killed. And the Cushite said, "It is well with the young man." Oh, the king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man." And the king was deeply moved, and he went up to his chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." What did David need? David needed a revival in the home. And I believe that there are going to be many people who go to church on that day of judgment. "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Oh, Linda, my daughter, had I died instead of you." But it will be too late. We must have a revival in the home. There's an epidemic going on right now. You say, "Well, we're in the church. Our kids go to Awana. And Awana's good. Our kids are in the youth group. Youth group is good." But if they're not seeing transformed lives at home, when they go off to college, oftentimes then they will mimic what is going on in the home. We need revival in our homes. Granddads, we need revival. Uncles, we need revival. Dads, we need revival. Young men, we need revival. But in all the church, we need revival in the home. Now look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema. Starting verse 4. We'll read first 4 through 6 first of all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. The first thing, to be the dad we need to be the family we need to be the person we need to be, we must be loving. And that loving starts with a passionate love affair with Jesus Christ. Dads, if you're not passionately in love with Jesus Christ, granddads, if you're not passionately in love with Jesus Christ, then I can tell you something. There is no way you should ever expect your children to be passionate. Because where your affections are, that's where your kids and your grandkids will often follow. And the same thing, mothers, is with you. If you're not passionate about Jesus Christ, you can bring your kids to VBS, you can take them to Bible school, but they see your hearts. And you might be a visitor here today. You might be someone who just stopped in tonight. There will be no strong family unit with you unless you first and foremost come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And allow Him to change us. Because my heart and your heart apart from Christ is wicked. I'm not talking about something that I've got it all figured out, because I don't, but God's Word has it all figured out. And I've got a long way to go. But I can promise you this, God is changing me. And God sent me here because He wants to change some of you as well. He wants some of you tonight to repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. He wants others of us to repent and say, we're going to make our family once again. Others of you young people, I'm going to be a woman. I'm going to be a young man who has a passionate zeal for Jesus Christ. Because apart from Him, there is no hope in this world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Where your love is, where your affections are, is where you devote your time. I'm thinking about it. Okay, let's think back. Thomas Edison. His affections, his love was for inventing. So what did he spend his life doing? Making inventions. I can think of Henry Ford. I like automobiles. Okay, Henry Ford. What was his love? Cars, automobiles. So where was all his affection? Where was all his time spent mass producing the Model A, the Model T Ford Motor Company? The Wright brothers, what was their love? Their love was flying and the thought of men flying. So they spent their time working on airplanes. What God wants to do tonight for you and for me is to put our affections on Jesus Christ. And let Him change the way our families operate. Let Him change the way our kids see us. Let Him change what's going on. But my fear is this, that if we do not love Him like we should, then our kids are not going to see. Are you spending time daily in the presence of God? Are you memorizing Scripture as a family? Are you and I developing the disciplines? And fathers, as we are to set the lead, and men to set the lead in your dating relationship. Let me go somewhere else. Man, this is off the subject, but young men, I want you to know something. People are going to tell you a lie. They're going to tell you, well, it's the girl's responsibility to say no. That is a devil's lie. It's your responsibility not to put her in that situation. It's your responsibility to develop discipline, self-discipline. Because if you don't have self-discipline in that, then you're not going to have self-discipline in anything else. Don't put the girls in that situation. Honor the girls. And learn to be a godly man. And men, let us be godly. And as we fall in love with Jesus Christ, let us encourage and bring our families along. Some of us are here and And we say, I'm doing all those things. I'm doing the spiritual disciplines, but I'm not bringing my family along. That's a sin. I used to, and sometimes I still do, would pray through the night. Not that I'm a godly person. I don't want you to think that. But I'd pray through the night, and I'd ask my wife, hey, what would you like me to pray for you? And so she said, pray for this. I think it's wonderful you're praying through the night. And the Holy Spirit one day convicted me. I was going to pray through the night one Friday night. I never asked my wife. The reason I didn't ask my wife, man, is because I thought, she won't want to pray through the night. And I said, Tanya, would you like to pray with me through the night? And tears started welling up in her eyes. She said, I thought you'd never ask me. I didn't think you wanted me to pray through the night with you. And I will never forget that night. There we were in our little study on our faces crying out before the Lord. And our daughter awakened and came in there and said, Mom and Daddy, what are you doing? Said, we're praying to God, seeking His face all night. She said, may I join you? And we were lying prostrate. And she got on my back and she began to pray with us. And she fell asleep. But to this day, she still remembers, the time we as a family prayed through the night. Now, she slept most of the night. But men, don't you understand? I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not. But what I'm saying is God wants you to fall in love with Him. And then He wants you to bring your family along and teach them and help them to fall in love. And women, He doesn't want you to be naggers. You need to love more. You need to do this. You haven't ever prayed through the night with me. Or maybe, thank God, you never prayed through the night. Women, you don't need to be naggers. We need the family of God to have a revival. And revival is based upon Jesus Christ and a mutual love, mutual respect, and Christ Jesus being exalted in our family. But a second thing, not only must we be loving, but we got to be teaching. Look back in the scripture. Look in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. If we have a revival in the home, we've got to teach them diligently. Remember I mentioned Awana. Yes, Awana's good. My daughter did Awana. My daughter was there every time the door was open. And it should have been. But the main responsibility for discipling my daughter was mine and my wife's. And I took that time seriously. Every night, we would get in bed and we would go through different books. We'd go Bible study sometimes. We would go through Chronicles of Narnia. We went through the Elsie Dinsmore series. We teach his biblical truth and we discuss them. We alternate it. We went through books such as Little Children's Progress and later The Children's Progress, Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan. The whole time. And to this day, I still, last year, what I did, we read through the Bible every year, and I wrote a devotion every day for her, and I sent it to her. And so this year, she's reading every day a devotion I read that wrote last year that went with the Bible reading she's reading today. And so then we discuss it, and we talk about it. She's 20, almost 22, and I'm still discipling her because God's yet to bring a godly man into her family, into her life. Men, take the lead. Now, you might not write devotions, but you can sit there and you can read and you can pray. Nothing wrong with God is good prayers. Nothing wrong with now I lay me down to sleep. But men, we've got to develop depth in the family. And women, we've got to develop depth in the family. And this must be in teaching them intentionally. We only have our children for a short amount of time. And men and women, we have a responsibility to grow in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we're to have revival, my wife and I read, and my daughter, and my mother, actually, we read through the same Bible plan almost every year. And then we get together daily and we discuss what God has taught us through that. It's a process of keeping the Word of God before us. And wives say, well, my husband's not doing that. Well, you pray for him and you get in that Word. But men, you need to be the leader. We've got to be doing what? First of all, we got to be loving Christ Jesus. We've got to be teaching, yes, coming to church. But this Bible school, VBS, Awana, that is secondary. Youth group, primarily, it is us as men developing the tools. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, Pastor Jay, he will give you something. He's going to give you a tool to help you. And becoming a godly man, he will give you that tool. We've got to be intentionally teaching. But then the third thing, if you'll look with me, we also must be doing this. We must be seeing and living. Verse 7b. You shall talk of it when you sit in your house. What must you do? You talk of it when you sit in your house. What's it talking about? Very simply this. How are you as parents interacting with your children? Are you sitting there with a newspaper? We don't read newspapers much anymore, but the newspapers or your iPhone. And you're sitting there or watching the television show and your kids are wanting to interact with you. Are you talking about biblical things in the home? Are you making a purpose attempt to talk about biblical concepts while we are together in the Word of God? Are you talking about Him while you are in the home? And when you walk by the way, let me ask you, how do they see you interacting with others when you're not in church? How is it? When you're walking around interacting with friends in the neighborhood or wherever you might be, men and women, young people, how do people see you interacting? We can come to church till we're blue in the face, but is our heart being changed and are we interacting with others in a gospel-centered way? Doesn't mean we can't laugh. We laugh, have fun, we have fun. But what are our words saying? Keep reading. 7b, and when you lie down, oh, wait a second. This is talking to the husband, by the way. He was the one responsible. But when you lie down, who does the husband lie down with at night? His wife. Children as well, but the wife. Husbands, how are you treating your wife? This is part of the discipling. Are you loving her? Are you cherishing her? Or do you snap at her? Do you ignore her? Does she have to call you down? Now, don't raise your voice. I'm not raising my voice. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what God wants for revival in our lives. And we've been transformed by Him. For how do we treat our husbands? And wives, how are you treating your spouse? What are your kids seeing? Are we nagging? Are we belittling one another? Were they going to get off to school and say, wow, my parents had a messed up family. And we're all messed up, but we have a Savior who brings us together. I was amazed when I started hanging around my daughter's friends at college, at a Christian college, not University of Mobile, but I was amazed at how messed up. The dads and the mom don't speak. One girl told me just recently, she said, you know, I was 21 before I ever heard my dad say, I love you. Grew up in a church, a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church. He was a deacon in the church. I have another good friend of my daughter's, and the parents are always fussing. We need revival. And we need revival in our homes. And it must be how we interact with our spouses. And when you rise, What do your kids see when you rise up? And me, when I rise up, do they see a grumpy dump, dump, dump? Or do they see someone who in the morning, the first thing is on their knees before God? And they wake up and see us in the Word of God. I can promise you this. My wife said it a million times about me. She said, you know, Rob, you don't spend time one day in the Word, then you can definitely tell. I said, yes. She said, 2 days you're not in the Word, I can tell it. She said, but 3 days not in the Word and everybody can tell it. But our kids need to get up there and see us in the Word. And young people, start now. You say, well, my parents don't fulfill all these things. You just pray for them and you become that kind of person that the Bible talks about. We as parents fall short many, many times. When you lie down and when you rise. Verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. The hands of the strong, the working. How are you as men when you're working? What do people see in your life? What is your language when you're at work? When you come home from work, what do you talk about work? Are you negative? Are you talking about others at work? Are you talking about the boss? Are you talking about all the other people that are so lazy there? That affects our homes. It affects our children. And you shall bind them as frontlets between your eyes. Men, what is this? Your spouse and your children are going to look where your eyes go. And if you have this young girl comes by or a young lady walks by and you turn your eyes and look, you better believe they'll see it. They'll see it. And it affects your witness. And men, it hurts your wife. And your kids will see it and they will begin to live this out in their lives. I'm ashamed to say we haven't been married too long. We were newlyweds, been married a couple of years. And there we went to get gas, Tanya and I. We didn't have any children yet. And it was a car wash, a gas and a car wash. And there was a young lady that was washing her car in like a bathing suit. And she was running like this. And so my eyes glanced over there. Couldn't have been more than 3 seconds. But my wife caught me. And it hurt her. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, you stared for 3 hours. It was maybe a second or two, but you know what? She still remembers that. And man, I try to guard my eyes because they represent Jesus Christ's eyes. And young people, men need to do the same thing. And women. Just because you're single doesn't mean you can stare at that girl in that bathing suit. You need to learn the first look you can't help, but you can sure enough don't have to let your eyes focus on that and bring those thoughts in your head. We need to be a church that's transformed to have revival, and that includes our eyes. Men and women, what's the scripture about? It's very, very simple. It is about writing, verse 9, on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, it is about you and I having revival, teaching our children, and our very, very homes are Christ-centered. We're not going to see a mighty move in our church until Rob Jackson, until each of us men, but also the women, young people, all of us here, we recommit to the biblical principle of making disciples in our home. Charles Carter was my pastor when I was in college. He was a good man. And I'll never forget some of the stories he told, and what I'm going to tell you in closing. Charles Carter said that he was pastoring. He was at Louisville Seminary, Southern Seminary. And he was pastoring. And there was one of the star athletes in his church. He has just received a scholarship. I don't know all the facts. It's been so long ago since I heard it, but I believe the UK. I might have been wrong about that. He was a scholar, an athlete, playing basketball in Kentucky's big. And his dad was so proud of him, bragged on him. His dad was big in the church. For graduation, got him a brand new sports car. And that night, he was so proud of his son, walked across. I believe valedictorian of the class, walked across. Went out with friends, said, "Dad, I'll be in." Dad said, "Don't stay out too late." And Dr. Carr lived right down the street from this man. And there at 2 o'clock in the morning, they heard a big crash. And Dr. Carr says he knew something was bad. And so he jumped up and threw on his trousers and ran out and was first one there. And wrapped around a telephone pole was that young man's vehicle. And the dad came out there then later, and he's just hysterical as you can imagine. And when they did the jaws of life, opened up the car, of course the young man was dead. And there a whiskey bottle rolled out, empty whiskey bottle. And the dad was furious. He said, "I'm going to prosecute the man who sold my underage son this alcohol." And he went on a campaign. "Who sold this to my son? He should die." 6 months later, I couldn't find the person who sold him the alcohol. The dad was very bitter. Some friends came over and said, "You know, you've been so uptight. Maybe you just need to have a little drink. Let's have a little drink, just a little bit. Let's open up the cabinet and just have a little drink." He said, "You know, that'll be good. I don't really drink much." But he opened up the cabinet, and the whiskey bottle was gone. And there was a note: "Daddy, I know you only use this for celebration, so I know you wouldn't mind. Thank you so much for the new car. Thank you for your love. I love you more than you'll ever know." Men and women, your children watch what you do even more than they listen to what you say. And so as I hear from God's word, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And you shall diligently teach them. May those of us who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to Crawford Baptist Church. Let's pray.